Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com. And we're very pleased to have with us today, he's busy texting to his constituency, William Bump Roddy. How are you, Bump?
I'm doing great. I was trying to get a few more listeners as we get ready to kick the show off, so I just posted.
You want us to stop for a few seconds?
No, we're good.
You're sure?
We have about 10,000 listeners, I think, already.
All right, so for those of you who do not know Bump Roddy, he's a member of the York County Council. What else would you like to tell him? Oh, you can tell him that you're feeling one of your old football injuries, right?
Oh, yeah, my knees were buckling as I was walking in the building. That's just sign and evidence that I am getting older outside of the gray hair.
So, gray hair is getting more prolific every time I see you.
Well, I love it, though. I'm embracing it because so many people haven't had the opportunity to live this long to see gray hair come in. So I'm very thankful for this gray hair. As long as it turns gray and not turn loose, I think we're in the game.
You know, I do want to take a second on a more serious note. I don't think most people, I did not realize until you made your announcement that you were running for mayor, how sick you were when that COVID hit you. You had a life-threatening experience.
Life-threatening, life-altering, life-changing, and it was certainly an eye-opener and brought in a newfound appreciation for healthcare workers, a newfound appreciation for just life itself, because so many people that contracted COVID didn't make it out the other side. You know, they went into the hospital to only, the next step was to go to the funeral home and to the grave. So I'm very thankful. My wife is very thankful. My son is very thankful. Those who prayed for us, prayed for me during that time. And so, man, I am here now trying to live out my dreams. I know I said at my announcement that after I got out of COVID, I said I was going to go for everything that I wanted in life and everything that I wanted out of life and give my family the best that we can possibly have. So here I am.
Yeah, well, I tell you, it was a very emotional kickoff announcement. You had a lot of people in tears, including yourself. And I just kind of sat there with my jaw dropped because I didn't realize that you had been through as serious a bout with this as you had.
Yeah, and my heart goes out to each and every family member who lost a loved one during COVID, and it still continues to be an issue across this country. And so my heart goes out to everyone, each and every one that fought that good fight, and it didn't turn out so well. So definitely I'm very thankful.
All right, so a little more background about you. For those who don't know you, hard to believe that nobody knows Bump Roddy, but town keeps growing, and
obviously we have a lot of people who've migrated down to the Carolinas, more specifically here in Rock Hill and York County, who may or may not have heard of Bump Roddy. I am the longest serving council member of 10 years now. I celebrate my 10-year anniversary on council, and who knew an innocent conversation at a high school football game landed me on county council, and I've been here 10 years. I've seen a lot of people come and go. We've seen multiple county managers come through, and through it all, through and through, Bump Roddy is still representing this community, and I think I bring a wealth of experience to the county. I've become a more sounding voice with a lot of our new young council member who's come on board, who's jumped right in the fire. But, man, we are a great council, and I think we have some great leadership from the management's position all the way down to our landfill workers at the York County landfill. So we are thrilled. I'm thrilled to be a part of a wonderful organization that if you go anywhere in the state of South Carolina and you mention you're from Rock Hill and York County, they definitely know where you are. They know the caliber of people that we have here in this community. And so I'm just thankful for the opportunity that my community has given me to represent them for so long on county council.
All right, so this is your, professionally you work at New Indy.
New Indy.
Right. Have you fixed the issue down there at New Indy yet?
Well, I will go on record to say that our management and staff is working diligently to meet the requirements of DHEC, the EAP, the EPA, I said the EPA, to make sure that they're doing right by not only the workers, but the community. They obviously want to be good corporate citizens in this community. I know the Kraft Group and the Kraft family made a significant investment here. We approved some things on the county level to help them forge a multi-million. When I say multi-million, it was over $400 million in investments that they brought to this community, and it kept a lot of people working. You know, when it was Bowater, Abitibi, and Resolute, we were going down the tubes, and we were facing destruction had the Kraft family had not come in, and a lot of lives and livelihood depends on those jobs. So my hat goes off to them, and hopefully we can resolve this issue with the community that's surrounding our facility.
Okay. So I guess we got all the preliminaries out of the way.
Yes.
And for those who are new, they should know that you are a candidate for mayor of the city of Rock Hill. This is your second shot at it.
Second shot.
The last one ended up in a runoff. We had three candidates who initially were running for mayor. You and the incumbent, John Geddes, went up in a runoff. Mr. Geddes was successful. You were not, but you're back at it again.
I'm certainly back at it again, and I'll tell people who are listening, who know me, it was a wonderful experience, one that I wouldn't trade in. Even though I didn't come out on the prevailing end, it was an experience I think the community enjoyed. I think we brought some issues to the table that are still there. You know, got a lot of people engaged that hadn't typically been involved in a mayor's race. Let's face it, you know, when Doug Eccles was mayor, he wasn't facing opposition year in and year out as most typical candidates do. So I think voting for mayor here in Rock Hill has kind of taken on a new feel, because it's like a very new activity, because there weren't any mayor races in the city of Rock Hill for so long, and I think people kind of forgot that you do elect a mayor here in the city of Rock Hill. But I'm back in the race, and I'm excited to be a part of it. We have a lot of great energy already going on. You know, a lot of people are excited and looking forward to supporting me, as well as I'm sure Mayor Geddes supporters are looking forward to getting back out there for him as well.
And it's interesting that this election, there's going to be three candidates again. There's you, Mr. Geddes, and a young man who I've not met yet, Ishmael
Lowry.
I know of him. I mean, I've heard of him and what he does, but we'll have him on the show as well.
Well, that's the one thing about our voting process here in Rock Hill, is that you don't have to meet certain qualifications. You don't have to be born in a certain neighborhood, have a certain level of education to be able to put your name in the hat. If, as long as you're a citizen of the city of Rock Hill, you're more than welcome to put your name in the hat, as long as you're of age. Unlike being the president of the United States, Rock Hill, we don't have a minimum age that you have to be to put your name in the hat. So I wish all the candidates well, but I do anticipate my voters getting out and really supporting me.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the election, because the city council voted unanimously because of the problems with the 2020 census and not getting the data so they can draw the districts properly, to put off the district elections until springtime. But the mayor's election is going to run on schedule in October, which some people say that's a good idea. Some people say it's a bad idea. What does Bump Body say?
Bump Body said that's a terrible idea, because I think it certainly disenfranchises a lot of voters. It waters down the push to get more people to the poll, because we want a collective representation across the board as to who becomes the mayor, who becomes our city council member. And if you go back and realize that there's a statute, the municipal code that Rock Hill adopted back in 1976, that said the mayor and city council members of Ward 4, 5, and 6 shall be run simultaneously. And, you know, Rock Hill had to undo a law / code of over 40 years in order to be able to do this. So that lets you know, they had to make an honest effort, or in this case, a dishonest effort, to split these votes up. And I've been in contact with the South Carolina Election Commission through their website, that there's no other municipality in the state of South Carolina splitting an election nor delaying an election. I know York recently had some conversation to see what they're going to do, and they're still working on that process. But no other municipality in the state of South Carolina is splitting or delaying an election. And we've had municipalities with growth of over 27% down in Mount Pleasant and Charleston, as well as Greenville, I think, had maybe 17 to 20%. Rock Hill's only about slightly under 14%. And they're saying that we had an overwhelming number of growth, and we certainly didn't, because Mount Pleasant is running on schedule, Greenville's running on schedule, Charleston's running on schedule. And I beg to differ with anyone who would challenge me on this, because if those municipalities can run and they've had substantial growth, and Rock Hill had modest growth, to say that we're not running because of growth, it's a false accusation, and it will be challenged legally. We have some things going on right now as we speak with the Attorney General's office, and we've also been in contact with some election law attorneys who are waiting to pursue this legally, depending on how the Attorney General rules, as well as the feeling that we get when filing period opens up.
So do you expect some kind of a ruling from the Attorney General prior to October?
Well, the Attorney General has been pretty swift of ruling on certain things like this, and I'm sure time is of the essence to weigh in on it. I've spoken with their office on numerous occasions. They've sent me multiple opinions that the AG's has issued over the years, and not one Attorney General's opinion has validated splitting an election. All the moves that the Attorney General's office has validated has been from a permanent move. When the municipalities went to single member districts, that allows you to move an election. When the county took over municipal elections, you had to move the dates. That was a permanent move. So there hasn't been any temporary moves that the Attorney General's office has supported. And this is what Rock Hill has attempted to do with a temporary move, and you know, it's going to be in the Attorney General's hand to weigh in, and it won't be a court ruling, but it certainly would give us grounds to take forward to a declaratory judgment if the Attorney General's office does side with saying that the statute should hold with the mayor and city council elections being run simultaneously, which the statute says.
Just for clarification, are you suggesting that it would be all right if everybody's election was delayed until the census tracts were established, or should they go ahead and just have the election with everybody in October, knowing that the districts were not defined?
But I think it's clearly the option of running everyone in October, but there isn't an option to split election. That's kind of unheard of in this state. That's kind of unheard of in this country, to split a general election that's been traditionally and for years since the 70s have been run together. And these codes and statutes were put together for a reason. And Rock Hill feels that just because the census data is being delayed, it gives them the fortitude to split an election. And I think that in itself should only have to come from the governor or a court of a higher ruling to make that determination. I don't think that should be made at the lower level, because let's face it, each and every 2 to 4 years, the city can all arbitrarily come up and say, we're going to move this election. And that shouldn't be able to be handled just at the local level.
So you would be okay if everybody's was postponed until the spring?
I would be okay if everyone ran in October, and I would be okay if everyone ran in the spring, because you can't split an election. I think the Attorney General's office hopefully will make that ruling that, you know, Rock Hill does have the determination to decide when the election is held. And here brings up another point that I made on your station a little over a month ago, is that when you're delaying an election, you're technically extending council members' terms beyond the statute that they were elected to serve. At the same time, you are naturally shortening the term of any new incumbent that comes in. So you have two folds of an issue, one with extending the term, and the second fold is you're going to give someone possibly 3.5 years when they're elected to serve 4 years. That to me is an issue.
Okay, so we know where you are on that. Now, 4 years ago when you ran, your main thrust was the city's finances. Now, 4 years later, your main thrust is
city finances. Okay. Exactly. You know, we in 2017 we started out looking at the city of Rock Hill. They had somewhere around $290 million in debt. $190 million in debt.
Yeah.
As of today, Rock Hill's pushing in excess of $450 million just in 4 years. And when you look at what's going on here in Rock Hill, and everybody points out all the great amenities that we have here in Rock Hill, I always look at the things that are not being done, where we're not spending money. You know, right now, Rock Hill is slated to spend in the TIF district, in the TIF area, downtown Rock Hill, $6 million on a crosswalk over Dave Lau. And this was kind of part of the plans.
It's a bridge.
Yeah, a bridge, pedestrian bridge. This kind of came up in 2018. As far back as 2017, 2018, I think it was part of some of the plans that Mayor Eccles had for downtown. So in 2017, 2018, you mean to tell me we had that much traffic in downtown Rock Hill that we would think to put a pedestrian bridge to this day in 2021, there's still not that much traffic on Dave Lyle for a $6 million pedestrian bridge. Now, it was about $6 million several years ago, and we all know the cost of steel have gone up, the cost of everything is skyrocketing. So that $6 million pedestrian bridge now is probably going to be somewhere around $7 to $8 million if we're lucky. So we're spending a lot of money here. We have a lot of great amenities, and I love what Rock Hill has done in many areas. The one thing I don't agree with is how we've gotten there financially. You know, I'm a city resident now, we have the tendency of doing things and prolonging the payoff. One thing looking at Rock Hill's finances is they're not paying things off. They're just kicking the can down the road and further delaying some of the payments, in which this is going to leave our children, our grandchildren, with a huge debt at the local level. There's no way a city of Rock Hill size should be pushing $500 million in debt.
All right. So I can remember these discussions that we had back and forth 4 years ago. And I readily admit I am not a CPA. And I couldn't read all those numbers and understand them if my life depended on it. But I do remember also bringing to this table various reports from the auditing, not the auditing agencies, but the bond rating agencies, which basically gave Rock Hill very good ratings, very good marks. Now, and I have a tough time reconciling, you know, the finances are awful versus what the experts are saying.
Well, one way to sum it up is Rock Hill has an A rating on their credit, on their bond rating. Huh? York County has a triple A. There's a huge difference in what we can go out and secure financing for on an interest rate, the amount of debt we can carry, versus a single A. Rock Hill's not strong when it comes to that. You know, we've seen and we've heard the issues that they've had securing the debt with the Carolina Panthers. That has yet to be resolved. And, you know, fast forwarding from 2017 to now, looking at how our city's debt has ballooned to almost $500 million for a city size of 70-something thousand people, that's huge. That is a debt that we must get on track and lay out a plan to not accumulate so much debt. And during this campaign, you will hear Bump Roddy say, the city of Rock Hill doesn't have a revenue problem. The city of Rock Hill has a spending problem. We're spending money that's coming in faster. We're spending money out faster than money's coming in, and I think that presents a problem for our city long term.
All right, and with that, we're going to have to take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you're listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us today, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road to Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. And as Bump Roddy knows, we prepare fresh subs and salads 7 days a week right here at Substation 2. He's already making the hand gestures. At the count of three, let's tell everybody how it's done. 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice.
Garden, garden, garden. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
There are very few genuine money managers in America, and one just happens to be your neighbor. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see what a money manager can do for you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or go online to andersongriggs.com.
These days, there are plenty of ways to stay connected to the internet. Laptops, phones, tablets, games, you name it. But the more devices you use in your home, the tougher it is to get a strong, consistent Wi-Fi signal. Comporium's premium Wi-Fi kit adds multiple Wi-Fi access points throughout your home, eliminating dead zones and interference, while spreading your signal more evenly so you can enjoy a better online experience. Right now, get our premium Wi-Fi for only $9.99 per month. Premium Wi-Fi from Comporium. Connect your whole home.
Water, fire, mold, and storms cause property damage every day. When it happens to you, it's no time for second best. That's why insurance professionals trust the locally owned and family-run Paul Davis Restoration of Rock Hill. This is Gina Rogers. Paul Davis is committed to providing extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Our team is highly qualified and trained to handle each situation with care and professionalism. When disaster strikes, call Paul Davis. We are here to help. 329-1140 or pauldavisrockhill.com.
Save on your monthly mortgage payment with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage from Founders Federal Credit Union. Take advantage of low rates while they're still around, and you'll also have no private mortgage insurance costs. The application process is easy, and your mortgage is serviced completely by Founders and always stays with us. Relax. your home. For more, visit foundersfcu.com/30. Membership qualification required. Credit evaluation, underwriting requirements, terms and conditions apply. Institutions NMLS identifier number 410646.
Wow, have things changed over the last year? This is Charlie Ruffalo. We're thankful for all your support through this situation, but we've come to a crossroad. Starting immediately, we will close on Sundays. This will allow us time to perform necessary maintenance and deep cleaning and also give us time to prepare for the week to come. But we're still willing to do caterings for special events on Sundays. We apologize for any inconvenience this may cause. But remember, we're still open Monday to Saturday. So come enjoy the best subs and salads in town. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. William Bumpbody is our guest this afternoon. He's a member of the York County Council and a candidate for the mayor of the city of Rock Hill. That election coming up, at least as far as we know, in October this year. Although, as Mr. Roddy just mentioned, he has taken this issue to the Attorney General, and we'll see what the heck the Attorney General says about splitting the elections.
Absolutely.
All right. Finances, again, is the big thrust of your campaign for 2021, as it was 4 years ago. Now, you have, and you've given me some copies of this, you have asked on a couple of occasions to the city to basically, starting back in January of this year, basically to ask them for all kinds of financial information. You wanted all of their records. You wanted all of their interest expenses. You wanted all the fees paid to the city's attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And where are you with all that?
Man, and it's interesting how you have to go about getting information. Everyone knows about the Freedom of Information Act. This is how you request information from any governmental entity. I find it interesting that on multiple occasions I've requested financial information, and it takes beyond the required or given 14 days to get information from the city of Rock Hill. And the reason why requesting this financial information is so important is that this is the nuts and bolts of how our city government operates. You know, I requested, you know, the retainer fees that's paid to Spencer & Spencer, because that's a different situation I'll be walking into as mayor. When the York County Council and York County government, we have a in-house paid attorney who handles all of our legal obligations and fee and things, as opposed to city has an outside attorney who's paid on a retainer and on a per cases basis, I would suppose. And I'm sure these fees that the city is paying to an outside company to be their legal services far more exceeds what we're paying for in-house. So that's one of the things that I definitely want to take a look at. What are those numbers? What do those look like? And I also wanted to see what Rock Hill's spending and where they're spending it on, because that tells the tale. Where you're spending your money, it leads the citizens to know this is where the city's interest is. And just looking around the city, like I said at the top of the show, we have some wonderful amenities, but there are certain costs that goes with borrowing so much money. I just want to know where this money's going, who's the recipient, and the fees that are associated with borrowing and spending this money. So I have several FOIAs out. I've yet to receive some of the information. I haven't received any information, actually. And this is pertinent information because I want to be able to look our citizens in the eye and tell them exactly what I intend to do about these particular issues. But I've yet to receive the information from the city of Rock Hill. And it's interesting that I requested the retainer fees that's paid to Spencer & Spencer. And Spencer & Spencer is the ones who must release this information. So they have this information in-house. It shouldn't take them 21, 28 days to release it, because I'm requesting information from the city, and the city employs Spencer & Spencer to turn it over, and I'm basically requesting information on Spencer & Spencer. So it's really no necessary reason why I haven't received this information. That's one of the things we definitely have to clear up, because the public, I'm a Rock Hill citizen just as well as anyone else, and we should be readily available. The information should be readily available when requested.
So have you heard anything from anybody, a telephone call or an email saying it's being processed or it'll be here in 30 days?
When I submitted an email just this week, it was, we mailed something out to you. And it was basically saying, we receive your request. After 14 days, I get that reply. And typically, FOIA requests should be answered within 14 days. Now, if you're requesting an abundance of information that may not be readily available, this is in-house information that should have been readily available to me and any other citizen who requests information.
Okay, we've got about 4 or 5 minutes left in the program. And I'm sure we'll have you back on again and maybe again as we get closer to October. If you are successful at this campaign, besides getting all this information out and being more transparent, to use your words, than is apparently being done now, and I do think the city has a lot of financial info out there on their websites and what have you. Not that I've seen, because I don't go that way, but I know it's there. What would your platform be besides more transparency with finances?
My platform right now, as we speak, is obviously transparency. We want to make sure all of our citizens know well what we're doing, what our intentions are, where we're spending your money. Obviously, there's still issues with the transfers with the city of Rock Hill. Looking at their financial report, they brought in just last year $34 million in profit. That was before they transferred $9.8 million. You know, we have issues with affordable housing. We have issues with homelessness. And the city of Rock Hill is continuously making huge profits on the backs of our citizens, only to transfer money from the utility fund to the general fund. Now, I would propose, if these transfers are legal, that we look to use this money to benefit the everyday citizens who are paying into this system. $34 million is a huge profit. I would look to run our utility system in a manner that's feasible to our local citizens. We shouldn't be standing in the pipeline to make $34 million on the citizens when we're disconnecting thousands and thousands for non-payment. You know, I want to make sure that we run our utility system in an efficient manner that makes a little bit of profit, because we have to set aside some funds just in case something happens to our system. But we shouldn't be sitting on $34 million at the end of not one single annual cycle here in the city of Rock Hill. And, man, I want to definitely work on being there for our small business owners. We all seen and heard how the Panthers came in and got $225 million from the city, the county, and school district. I want to make sure we have something available to work with our small business owners. If you own a small business, what can we do to help make it a seamless process? And if you're looking to get into a small business, everybody has a dream of some sort to run some type of business. And if you have that aspiration, I want to make sure we set up a program that allows you to come to the city to say, hey, how do I get started? Walk me through these steps. Remove some of the red tape, because time and time again, I've heard from many business owners that says Rock Hill is just creating so much red tape. And red tape in the business world translates into more cost for the business owner, which translates to more cost for the end user, which is the customer. We're certainly doing things on the county level to try to remove a lot of red tape and make it more a seamless process. The county doesn't even charge a business license fee. You can move inside the unincorporated area and open up a business, and you don't have to report to us to pay a single dime to run a business. I've heard some things about the business licensing that Rock Hill is dealing with. So, man, I just want to make sure that we're getting back to the basics. We were once a mill town. Now we've turned into corporate America, and I think we're pushing some people away.
Let's talk a little bit about, because we only have about 30 seconds left, downtown. If you become the mayor, are you going to kind of radically change what's going on down here?
I've supported the downtown efforts going back to when Kerwood Chapel was on council with me. He and I had a disagreement of support and non-support. So I've been a supporter of the downtown. I'm not a big supporter of just continuously spending money just to build parking decks to support as much private development. I know we need some, but we have to make sure that we're developing at the right pace. You know, we just extended Rock Hill's opportunity to borrow more money in the downtown. I think the plan is beautiful. I went back and read the articles that was on it. I overwhelmingly support it. I want to make sure, because that is the next big boom in the city of Rock Hill.
William Bumprotty, we have run out of time. I knew it would go fast, but we'll get together again, I can assure you of that. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program. Live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Fresh subs and salads 6 days a week here at Substation 2, Monday through Saturday. There's a magical way we do it. It's in the white letters, and we're all going to chant it out together at the count of three. Are you ready, Bump?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's go now. One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you on the radio Monday. Bye.